Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 71 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host, as usual. Today, I have a fascinating guest, Katie Gutierrez-Miller. Katie is the founder and CEO of a company called Assistant Match. And they were one of the very first original companies to offer virtual assistants. So it's kind of a service where you as a client would contact her and agree to have a virtual assistant support you in some type of activity that you're doing in the office. Assistant Match was one of the originals. And what's kind of unique about them, as you'll hear in the interview, is that all of their virtual assistants are educated and based here in the U.S. And, you know, for those of us in the legal profession, sometimes that's an important consideration, and really for a lot of people, not just legal profession, but seems like if you were hiring a virtual assistant to do something in your office, there would be an advantage to having them be U.S.-based or U.S.-trained. So there's something interesting about that. Anyway, it's a delightful conversation. She's a wonderful speaker, and I hope you get as much out of this listening to it as I did conducting it. So without any further delay, here is my friend, Katie Gutierrez-Miller. Hey there, Katie Gutierrez-Miller. Welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you so much, Neil. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm delighted that you could take the time to be with us today. Katie, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are.
Sure. About 10 years ago, I was living in San Francisco, and I had quite a few friends who were entrepreneurs or investors. And this was about the time when virtual started to become something that was intriguing to folks. And I was managing a virtual team, and I knew that virtual teams worked. My friends seemed to be way too busy in their lives. They had too much to do and too little time to do it, and they needed help. But they didn't need anybody full time. They didn't necessarily need or want anyone in their workspace. And I thought, virtual assistant, that's the perfect solution for you. But at that time, it was so hard to find a virtual assistant. You post an ad on Craigslist and get bombarded with 200 responses in 24 hours, that I thought, you know, there needs to be a way to make this easy for people to get help if they need it. And I did a little research and couldn't find any company that would meet the needs of my friends. And I thought, you know, this can work. I know that I can do this. And so I started Assistant Match at that point, seeing that there was a need in the entrepreneurial community. And I thought that I could fill it. So with a little naivety, I jumped in and I learned the ropes pretty quickly and have been building the business for the last 10 years. I've moved across country a couple of times, but being a virtual business itself, it's really easy to move around.
Well, I'm going to ask you a little more about the virtualness, if you will, if that's an adjective, virtualness,
sure.
If that's a proper word to describe your business. But let me go back a little bit to kind of the start here, because I think it's interesting. You were working in the entrepreneurial space, or you were in the San Francisco area, in that kind of entrepreneurial environment, and it was your friends that you felt had the need for a virtual assistant?
I was doing education programs for judges in California, of all things. The folks who were supporting the work that I was doing were located all over the state. The people who were involved in my projects were all over the state. So we were working in a very virtual capacity in that respect, even though it was the government. Who would have guessed that that would be the forward-thinking piece at that point? I always had the entrepreneurial bug. I had my hands in a few different things and ran in those circles. So I saw the need outside of the government, outside of corporate America, and in the entrepreneurial circles.
So you said somewhat naively, is one of those shoot, then ready, aim kind of approaches. You jumped in with both feet and started the company and then kind of figured out how to make this work? Or how did you, what was your takeoff like?
Well, I knew that this was needed. I knew I could immediately have some clients based on the people that I knew and their networks. And so I thought, I'm just going to create it. This was the first business that I created, and luckily it worked. And I think, as anyone listening knows, there you go through ups and downs, and needing to learn from other folks who have done it and done it well, or maybe didn't do it so well, and to learn from them. That's what I ended up needing to do with my business, is I had made some expectations of how things were going to go, either doing financial forecasts that weren't completely accurate or thinking something would take less time or more time than it really did, and needing to adjust as I went along. The big piece of this was I knew it was a service that was needed. I knew it was a service that in a business that give the right people in being involved. So what I quickly learned to do is what I'm helping other people do, to build my team of people with certain areas of expertise that I did not have, because I didn't want to have to go through the trial and error in a big way over and over and over again. So I brought people in who knew that piece of the puzzle that I didn't happen to know. So that's kind of the naivety of thinking I didn't need that at first, but quickly learning, oh, just build team. That's really the way to success in this.
Well, it's interesting because I think particularly for attorneys, we always struggle with that question of which comes first, the chicken or the egg. You know, does the revenue and the resources, do you have to have that in order to be able to build your team and add staff? Or do you take that gigantic leap of faith and add staff to help build your revenue? Did you have a clear-cut decision along those lines, or did you a little of both?
Well, that's a tricky one. I think everyone will have a slightly different answer, and I think based on industry, the answer might change as well. For me, what I knew that I needed to do is get a really solid financial system in place, because it was going to be a little tricky how I had started the company with contractors and billing at different rates. There were just a lot of moving pieces that I thought, I don't want to, that's not my forte. This isn't my area of strength. So I, before we, the company was making very much money, I brought somebody on to take over the role of finance manager. And what that made me do, knowing that I was going to be paying her regardless, is it made me work harder and faster and smarter to be sure that I generated the revenue that was needed to cover all costs, including this person that I was paying. The way that I had hired her also, which I think is a great way for most anybody to do if they're a small business or a one-person shop, is to have some sort of flexibility if need be. So I knew how much I wasn't going to be exceeding per month, what my budget was to pay her. But I also knew kind of how many virtual assistants work, though she was not a virtual assistant, is to have the hours ebb and flow as needed. It gave me more flexibility. The person knew that she would be growing with the business as the business grew. And it made us all feel like we were on that same team of, we're going to make this work because it has to.
So you're paying her on an hourly basis for the work that was necessary with a cap as to what you would be paying. Sure. That's interesting. Well, obviously you got off the ground and got running. So let's talk about the company itself. Tell me a little bit about Assistant Match and what sets you apart from, you know, others in the virtual assistant space?
Sure. Assistant Match is a company that makes it really easy for busy people to work with the right virtual assistants. And a virtual assistant is an umbrella term, just so everyone's on the same page here, that covers just about anyone who works from home. So they work remotely, virtually, that's the piece of it there. And they do support related activities for business. So it could be administrative support, it could be bookkeeping, it could be marketing help, it could be editing, it could be a whole host of things that fall under that support umbrella. The way that assistant match is a little bit different than some others out there. First is we were one of the first. So we have stayed about 10 years now in this industry, which a lot of folks have popped up and disappeared over that time.
Yeah, I'm just going to emphasize that point while we're at it. There are, or there have been, and in fact, I was a client of another virtual assistant firm at one point that, as you said, popped up, and right in the middle of our relationship, they closed the doors and said, sorry, can't support you anymore. So congratulations on not being one of those types of companies.
Well, thank you. Never want to be one of those. And I'm so sorry that was your experience. That's not going to be a good feeling.
Well, I had a fabulous time with my virtual assistant. It was just, you know, the company that was underwriting the relationship maybe had some issues, but be that as it may. So go on.
So Assistant Match, all of our virtual assistants are located in the United States. For some people, that's a very important piece of keeping work and keeping money within the U.S. And also for business cultural reasons, it's very smooth for most people to work with our virtual assistants. We also are very strategic on who we select as top candidates during our screening and vetting process for each individual client. So the person, Neil, who we might think the top two candidates for you could be very different than the top two candidates for one of your peers who might be even requesting similar sort of services. We take into account not only the skills that are needed, but also the personality and work style. And we've been doing it long enough and we know our virtual assistants well enough to be able to find really strong matches, because not all virtual assistants are created equal and everybody is looking for a little bit something different, it seems.
Well, it seems to me that this is a little bit like running, you know, a dating service for business, so to speak, in the sense that, not that I'm making any, you know, direct comparisons, but it seems to me that the key to your success has to be matching the right virtual assistant with the client. And I notice on your leadership team, on your website, of the six people listed there, three of them are identified as placement specialists. I'm assuming that's what their role is, amongst other things. So you obviously put a lot of emphasis on being able to match the virtual assistant to the client.
Yes, that's, I think, one of our, that's what I know is one of our strong suits. The other side of that is, okay, you have this fantastic person that you're going to be working with. For people who aren't used to delegating or aren't used to working with someone that they're not seeing on a daily basis, it can be a little tricky, especially in the beginning, to get up and running with somebody in a really effective, successful way. So the other piece of what we offer is that ongoing support of making sure that our clients and their virtual assistants are working together as effectively as possible. So that can be just giving suggestions or best practices. It can be taking the form of coaching the virtual assistant or the client on how to be a really exceptional client, because that goes both ways too. It's finding the right person and then it's working together successfully. And that's what Assistant Match has been able to offer a lot of value in throughout the years.
You know, I think you're so spot on with that, because, you know, in the practice of law, we frequently speak, you know, behind closed doors of managing our clients and making sure that we manage their expectations and we teach them how to be a good client. And obviously that same issue is true for you and your virtual assistants, making sure that the client knows how to work with their virtual assistants. One of the things that I hear most often from attorneys is that when you bring up the idea of outsourcing to a virtual assistant or in some cases a virtual paralegal, the pushback that I get is that, man, it's going to take me so long to bring them up to speed that it's really not worth it for me. How do you overcome that challenge?
Well, typically we'll say start small. So bringing them up to speed and getting them to the point where they can anticipate what you're thinking and what your needs are going to be, That certainly can happen, but it's not going to happen immediately. So I think walking in with a different sort of expectation of, okay, the first thing that I'm going to be delegating is I'm going to want this person to do all of my updates, or I'm going to want my virtual assistant to start doing all of my research projects or all of my scheduling and email communications, whatever that first chunk is that's most important to delegate. That's what that you get up to that person up to speed with first. So it's baby steps. You get up to speed with that. You see how it goes. You whatever sort of communicating that you're doing together, you give a lot of feedback on what's going well and what can be improved. Same thing, the virtual assistant should be involved in that feedback process as well. And then you delegate something else. And slowly but surely, we'll get up to speed. And there are ways folks are wanting to delegate a whole bunch at once that you can take time and create documents and, you know, have longer conversations and get that person up to speed quicker. But for most folks, I found that it's a lot more comfortable and more realistic to do little pieces at a time and continue to grow.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. Do you want to help more clients but don't have the resources? Do you feel overwhelmed by the amount of work to do that you can't even think about getting new clients? If this is you, I urge you to try out Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM that streamlines your practice and can save you hours of work each week. Daylight has helped thousands of small businesses, including my own, to manage more clients and cases without adding stress nor chaos. With Daylight, you don't need to fumble through files or notes to know where you are in a case. There's no more CCing your assistant on emails or passing around spreadsheets. Because Daylight now has a new team view that helps you see what everyone in your firm is working on. You can see everyone's appointments and tasks and easily schedule meetings for the entire team or a portion thereof. To learn how Daylight can help your firm, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. Be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. That's Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. In addition, I want to tell you about my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They build a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. And this helps me generate more referrals and more business for my firm. Their services are designed to help lawyers get better results out of the resources they're already investing into marketing and business development. They create an internet foundation that makes all of your marketing work better. That's because these days, almost every potential client is going to check out your web presence before they hire you. It's important that you create a strong first impression. And that's what Spotlight Branding has done for me, and they can do it for you too. So visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for our podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE. The argument or the pushback that I hear is it takes me so long. And I think part of that is because attorneys in particular are thinking about hiring a virtual assistant to do a discrete function in the office or a discrete job description, as opposed to hiring a virtual assistant to do a specific task and building up from there. And they say, well, I'm going to hire them to do all my client intake. Okay, well, that's a big job. If you get a lot of phone calls of potential new clients and it's the lifeblood of your firm, and how about we start off with just a little one, a little task like answer the phone?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit how you go about screening and vetting the candidates on your end who want to become virtual assistants that you then make available to clients.
It's really the same process that most anybody should do if they're going to be hiring. Well, let me also say there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are looking for this sort of work, the flexible work from home and support capacity work. So we have a number of virtual assistants, probably about 100 that are already screened with us. And then there are thousands more in our database. So we start with that lower level that we already know very well. We do all of the general, what are the skill sets, what kind of knowledge base do they have? How do they come across on the phone? Is it professional enough to be placed with somebody in a professional business support capacity? We do professional reference checks. We do criminal background checks. We collect work samples or do test projects when that's applicable. And we get to know these folks quite well, of course, of a number of different communications and interview steps. And then when it comes down to it, the selection of who clients want to work with is up to them. So it always goes down to that gut feel at the very end. When everything else, all the boxes are checked, there still needs to be that feeling of, oh yes, this is the person that I want to work with when it comes down to it. But all the other things that a typical HR department would do is what Assistant Match does as well.
That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about specifically some of the types of things that a virtual assistant can do. And maybe let's kind of focus a little bit, since our audience is mostly, if not exclusively, lawyers. Do you have, you know, a base of lawyers or attorneys that use your services?
Yes. And throughout the years, that has been the case. And it's funny because I can't say, well, this is the one thing that attorneys always ask for, because it varies. And it seems to be three or four categories that the requests fall into. There's the marketing help. So that would be, usually at this day and age, of course, is online marketing. So sometimes that takes the form of email newsletters, of blog updates, of managing social media accounts. It can be as simple as following instructions that you would give, or it could be somebody who has more of that strategic mindset and is able to offer some suggestions of, ooh, here's how I think that you would be able to reach more people. So we have folks that help with that online marketing piece for small law firms and for independent attorneys. We also have people who have helped in the basic administrative role. So that could be updating databases. It could be doing some research projects. It could be data entry. But it's that basic admin, those time-consuming tasks that you really need to get done, but are certainly not the best way for any business owner or any attorney to spend time. We also have had requests around bookkeeping, making sure those invoices go out and they're collected on, and having QuickBooks all in order and just taking care of that financial piece. Not at CPA level, but just at the bookkeeping level. And then we also have the executive assistant request. And these are the people who will do more of the communicating with clients or potential customers. They're the ones who are going to be booking travel or helping managing schedules. They can be their client's really gatekeeper if need be as well. So it seems like the basic admin, the executive assistants, the marketing and the bookkeeping areas are what are most often requested.
Interesting. Now, as an example, I have outsourced my bookkeeping to specifically a bookkeeper, and I've outsourced my social media responsibility to a company that handles all of that. But I had not really thought about the executive assistant role and how that might be able to help me, nor kind of the market research. I mean, I'm thinking of a task right now about trying to reach out to a class of people to talk to, and that would be a terrific research project for somebody to work on in a small project. So you've got me thinking about how best to use a virtual assistant. Tell me about some of the technology involved and how people go about making these virtual assistant connections. I'm assuming it's mostly email and phone.
Yeah, it is. Mostly email, phone, text, but with so many different apps and free and low-cost software and programs that are out there now, it makes it very easy to do a lot of other things. So sharing things over Google Docs, for instance, is common if there isn't a bigger system that's already in place. You know, using things like Slack rather than email is also being utilized more often. Zoom or Skype if you want a video conference rather than just have phone conversations. So there's a lot of technology out there that's pretty easy to use and free or inexpensive that can make working together smoother. However, like I said, a lot of people just need email. They just need phone. You can stick things into the mail still, or you can scan them and send them over if documents need to come into play. But the majority of the time, it's pretty basic things.
Yeah, I guess the degree to which you incorporate technology into that virtual assistant relationship is dependent on the degree to which you use technology in your own practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not using Slack, or if you're not using a case management system or a task manager, then obviously you wouldn't be giving your virtual assistant access to those. But if that's a central point of your legal workflow, then there are ways to incorporate a virtual assistant into that environment seamlessly so that it looks like they're sitting right there with you filling out the task reports and Slack messages and what have you.
Mm-hmm. And it's, we've seen people say, I know that I need better streamlined systems and different sort of technology, but I don't know what it is. Excuse me, virtual assistant that I'm working with, can you please do that research and come back with your top couple of suggestions on what we should be using to make this even more streamlined? So I feel like technology should not be a stopping point for anybody to work with somebody in a virtual relationship, because there are easy solutions and there are more complex that can be easily discovered.
Yeah. Does security come into play here at any level? I mean, are you concerned about secure communications, or not secure in the definition of, you know, top secret, but just making sure that there's a respect for the private data of the clients?
Absolutely. Yes. I would think that should be something that everybody thinks about. On the most base level, it's doing these thorough screening of people so we know that they're trustworthy, that they don't have any sort of criminal background. We just want to be sure that the people that we're putting forward, or that anyone, even if you're finding a virtual assistant on your own, is trustworthy to begin with. Then as far as secure communications go and securing whatever information and documents are being created, I mean, I think that at a very base level, it's working on secure Wi-Fi, if that's what's being done, not working at coffee shops if you're dealing with information that you're wanting to stay private. Not that people necessarily go out and swipe information all that much, but there is that possibility. So if that's something that's important to you, to make the request of your virtual assistant that they only use password-protected Wi-Fi connections. Backing up data on a regular basis so nothing gets lost if a computer crashes or gets stolen if it's a laptop or gets lost. And then for some people, it would be, you know, please don't do this via text. I'd like only email on the computer rather than phone, because it seems that it's more secure. Whatever your comfort level is, it can always be requested, and the virtual assistant will, of course, do all they can to meet those needs and to meet those requests. But on a basic level, virtual assistants, they're professionals too. They're business owners, and they take their work very seriously, and they want to be sure that they're doing the best job, because they know that they're replaceable, and they also know that this is their livelihood and this is what they're choosing to do. So the same level of professionalism that most of the listeners here take with their business, they can expect their virtual assistant will have with their business. So they will make sure that security is always on the top of their mind, and it's a conversation they're always willing to have with their clients.
So help me make the financial argument as to why it makes sense to hire a virtual assistant.
Well, I would imagine that you didn't go to law school to do data entry, and you didn't go to law school to do some of the more basic tasks that probably a lot of you are doing these days. Look at your billable rate. What are you getting paid by hour? And then look at what you're spending your time on. And if there's anything that is less than what that's worth, so if you're doing a lot of online updates to your website, and you can outsource that for $30 an hour, and you're doing that, and you could be billing at a much higher rate, in my mind, that's what I would do. I would pay somebody at a lower rate, and I would do my work at a higher rate, and it all ends up working out.
Yeah, that's exactly the argument that I was persuaded by when I first dipped my toe into the outsourcing world, because somebody asked me, would you pay your bookkeeper, you know, $250 an hour? So good Lord, no. Well, you're paying your current one that. when I thought about it, I went, whoa, that's a really good point. You got me with that one. So how does one go about contracting with assistant match? What's the mechanics of the relationship with a client? Are they paying you and you're paying the VA, or How does that work?
Yes. Yeah. We become the service provider. So we contract with the client and we also contract with the virtual assistant. So they pay us, we pay the virtual assistant, and then we take care of all the tax details for the virtual assistant as well. And we make it smooth. We bill twice per month for the time that the virtual assistant actually spends. And that's always very transparent. They give weekly status updates as to what's being accomplished and how much time they're spending, which I would hope that any virtual relationship would do. And of course, clients are always able to put a cap on the number of hours that the person is spending on work as well.
I will tell you that one attorney that I spoke to who does use a virtual assistant said to me, I have more visibility and more accountability for what my virtual assistant does than I did for my full-time employee who sat in the desk right outside my office.
I believe it. I do.
So because they're billing me and they're describing exactly what they're doing on, you know, essentially a minute by minute basis. So if that's a concern that one would have about maybe not getting as efficient a return on your investment as you think, I think you can dispel that right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're only billing for the amount of work that they do for you. So having somebody in office, if their sister calls, they might talk to the sister for a little while. They might have a little bit of downtime, but they're still in the office and they're still in the chair and they're still getting paid. If the virtual assistant, they work 20 minutes on a project, it's only that 20 minutes.
Right. Interesting. So without, you know, locking you into a number, give me kind of a range or a sense of what it would cost to use a virtual assistant. Is that doable?
Sure. I'm going to give you a bigger range because it really does depend on what that person is needing to do and what skill set they need. So for some of the most basic sort of administrative tasks, you're probably looking at about $20 an hour. It'll increase as that skill level needs to increase, probably up to about 50. So I'd say between $20 and $50 per hour for, you know, a good US-based virtual assistant, at least through Assistant Match. That's kind of where our range runs.
Yeah, I think that's about totally reasonable given what you're offering. Well, tell our audience then a little bit how they can go about getting a hold of you and contemplating the idea of adding a virtual assistant to their team.
Sure. If you're interested, there are some resources that'll help you think more about what a virtual assistant do for me. What exactly do I need a virtual assistant to do? I'll kind of walk you through some steps for getting some clarity on that on the website, which is assistantmatch.com. And if you are interested in talking with somebody, either you know that you're ready to get going and you want to find a virtual assistant, or you're not sure, but you want to talk with somebody about your specific situation a little bit more, you can email info@assistantmatch.com. Or you can give us a call. The phone number is on the website. It's 800-403-5506. And one of our placement specialists will be happy to chat with you. And there's never any pressure. We just like being a resource to people, helping people know that virtual assistants exist and how they might be able to use them either now or in the future. So there's never a hard sale on our end. But I do want to mention that if any of you listening would like to work with Assistant Match, the first hour of your services is on me. I love, Neil, what you're doing, the service you're providing. So all you need to do is just reference that you heard about Assistant Match from the Law Entrepreneur, and we'll take care of you.
Well, that's really very kind of you, Katie. I do appreciate that. You didn't have to do that. That's kind of a surprise. So I do appreciate that. I will also say, just as I'm, you know, poking around on the website here, I think I've read about 20 of the blog entries now. I love the short and sweet blog posts that you have on your website. So if anybody out there, law entrepreneurs, you know, go take a look at that. I mean, the one she just wrote recently was 3 business tips to accomplish during the summer months. And this is so spot on. Stay visible, start a project, and reinvent yourself. I love that.
Thanks. Yeah, we try to make it easy. No long.
Are you doing that? Are you hiring out a virtual assistant?
I am no longer doing that. It's one of my team members. I'm telling you, it's about maximizing what we're each best at. And that's not really the best use of my time anymore. It is sometimes. I do some of it, but not all of it.
There you go. There you go. Well, Katie, thanks ever so much for being a part of the Law Entrepreneur today. And we'll make sure that we get all of that information in our show notes so that people can reach out to you if they feel they're ready to take that step and add a virtual assistant to their law practice. And hopefully we'll see you further on down the road.
I look forward to it. Thank you again so much, Neil. This was a real pleasure.
So there you have it, Law Entrepreneurs. Fascinating discussion there with Katie Gutierrez-Miller about virtual assistants. You probably heard during the episode, we talked about just how much you can outsource to specifically tailored and specifically trained specialists work from your law firm, you know, to an outside entity. In my own case, and we've mentioned this many, many times, I use a virtual paralegal. You may recall Valerie Nowotnik's firm, Paralegal Consult, at paralegalconsult.com. She was a guest on the show way back when on episode 9. And we use her for our paralegal needs, for our personal injury cases and our some of our family law cases. And then I also hired Susie Clark, who is the head honcho over at Susie Q Bookkeeping. And they do all my bookkeeping and get all my ducks in a row in order to send to my accountant. So that's two areas where I've outsourced work. And then I, obviously, if you listen to this show, you hear we talk every episode about Spotlight Branding, to whom I've outsourced all the social media updating and website development for my firm. So this is another piece of the puzzle that virtual assistants such as Assistant Match might provide. And I see a real opportunity to use them on a per case basis or either per project basis. So it may not be a long-term commitment, but I could use a virtual assistant to help out on specific matters. So I'm going to be talking with Katie, and I hope you take advantage of her offer to get at least your first free hour of virtual assistant work by mentioning the Law Entrepreneur when you contact them over at assistantmatch.com. And we'll have all of that in the show notes. And speaking of the show notes, we also have all of our social media information there. I'd love to have you pop into our website at thelawentrepreneur.com, www.thelawentrepreneur.com. See what we offer up there on the website. Maybe join our mailing list. If not, you can always check us out on Facebook. Just search for at The Law Entrepreneur. You'll find us there. Be a part of our Facebook group. That's kind of a robust environment in the moment. Or check us out on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at Law Entrepreneur. I tweet out all the information about the episodes and some additional stuff regarding the opening and running of a solo law practice. Or you know what, you can just revert to the old-fashioned email system. You know, it's funny to email it now, thinking thought of as old-fashioned, but email me at neil@thelawentrepreneur.com, neil, n-e-i-l at thelawentrepreneur.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear if you have any suggestions for guests that you might like to hear on the show, or else topics that you might like to be covered. I can tell you that I have a really interesting guest coming up here shortly, maybe next week or the following week thereafter, directly as a result of a listener's inquiries who said, I want to know more about taxes in terms of what I have to do as a solo attorney and what things I might do that are within my scope to either minimize my tax or take advantage of tax opportunities as a solo practitioner. So we have a very good friend of mine, Eric Wexler, coming on board here shortly to discuss that. And so stay tuned for The Law Entrepreneur if that's a topic that interests you. But until next week or the next time we have an episode, we're having a little scheduling issues here as of late, but promise you we're going to get back on track here shortly. Until then, thanks for listening and being a part of The Law Entrepreneur.